Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, what's up, Surf Splendor listeners? Your host, David Scales, here with you for the 100th episode of Surf Splendor. Let's give a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you to the listener. I don't have anything big planned in terms of celebration, but I do want to acknowledge, you know, that it is 100, and I want to acknowledge the listener's role in the show. Something I've talked about in early shows, haven't really touched on it too much recently, maybe in the last year, but, you know, it's like we create the content, you guys distribute, tell your friends, blah, blah, blah. But also, a lot of the guests that we've had on this show came through direct recommendations of a listener or by referral of the listener, and then that guest referred me to a different guest, and it's just kind of had a snowball effect, and there's no real way to identify all the moving bits and the arms other than just that it's a snowball that's picked up momentum and it's picked up snowflakes along the way. And so without, you know, giving individual names, I'm just shouting out to everybody that I'm grateful for your collaborative effort. And I am also proud of the work that I've done with the show. You know, I feel proud of it. I feel proud passing it along to people. You know, when I run into people and kind of we connect the dots and it's like, oh, go listen to the show, and they can go into the archives and listen to a show 20 episodes ago, and I'm not worried about what I said or what it was or whether the production quality was up to snuff. I mean, certainly some are better than others, but, you know, I'm proud of it as a whole. I think that my original objective with this show was to foster an environment for storytelling. Conversations about surfing was kind of the tagline, but really storytelling is the theme. So whether Scott and I are riffing in this episode about whatever it is, surfboards or the Billabong Pro, you know, story plays into that, and I'll try to reference stories in my life or whatever, but also in longer profile pieces, you know, trying to get the interview subject to tell story. And I think that that's kind of what drives the engine here. It what drives the things that I'm interested in, whether it's music or books or movies, you know, story is key. So I think this is a great platform to really unpack story, because it's long form and it's somewhat intimate, you know, in that you're listening to it. And so I'm proud of it. I'm saying a lot. I don't know why, but I'm proud of the show. I'm grateful for you listening, and thank you for being here for 100. If you're new to the show, go through the archives and listen. Everything's on our website, surfsplendorpodcast.com, for free. The past 50 episodes are available on your podcasting app, whether it's iTunes app or Stitcher or whatever. So enjoy all that stuff for free and share it with your friends, as always. All right. Billabong Pro Tahiti is wrapping up. It's actually going into the final right now as I'm recording this intro. Jeremy Flores and Gabriel Medina. So pretty psyched. I'm really impressed by Jeremy Flores. I did not put him on my fantasy team specifically because he's coming off of this injury. But man, he's really proven us wrong. And so is Sally Fitzgibbon with her head injury or ear rupture. You know, she's been wearing a helmet winning contests. So kind of interesting there. But at any rate, I hope that you enjoyed that comp. Scott and I get into it just briefly in this episode. So enjoy this episode. I will be back at the end to sign us off. Thanks.
Hell yeah, David Lee Scales. Welcome, everybody. Yeah, guy down the line, Surf Talk Radio. It is Tuesday. It is August 25th. And David Lee Scales and Scott Bass with you here discussing surf this morning on our Downline podcast / surf news.
Rocking and rolling this morning, dude.
Dude, that used to be the, that was the lead-in song for this radio show in the very beginning, like say 2005 to 2008. That was our lead-in song.
Wow.
Iron Maiden, 2 minutes to midnight.
Wow. Well, anything's better than the Allman Brothers.
Oh, know, my God. Take... that is so wrong.
No, it's not.
You're just going to start the show off with blasphemy across the bow.
Absolutely.
All right.
So they're not overall better than the Allman Brothers. I'm just saying it's a breath of fresh air. That is what I'm saying.
Do you listen to Iron Maiden? Are you an Iron Maiden connoisseur?
I'm not, but I do listen to the Allman Brothers, so for the record. That would be my preference of the two, but again, breath of fresh air occasionally is nice.
Iron Maiden, pretty damn good. I'll give you some insight about Iron Maiden.
Oh, okay.
You may or may not know.
Enlighten me.
The lead singer, Bruce Dickinson, was a gold medal or an Olympic fencing champion and
what?
Fenced for the United Kingdom in the Olympics.
Crazy.
Yeah. He also is a 747 pilot.
Fascinating.
And he flies the Iron Maiden jet around the world.
That's
to
insane.
Different locations with all the band and all the roadies, everybody on the 747.
It's a pretty sophisticated, cultured dude for that type of music.
He's incredibly smart, incredibly, like, what's the term? I guess type A personality. He just gets stuff done.
Right.
So if you ever get a chance to, you know, I would urge you just Google, you know, an Iron Maiden video, a live video to see Bruce Dickinson and then realize that this guy's an Olympic fencing champion, thrusting and parrying.
Right.
And that he flies 747s and he does a lot of other things too on top of that. This guy's a go-getter.
I mean, it's just such a disparity between Iron Maiden. Like, fencing is such a lily white, old kind of traditional sport, and Iron Maiden is such the opposite of that, I guess.
Well, I mean, he sings songs about it. I mean,
does he?
I mean, when you look, you know, the thing I love about Iron Maiden is that a lot of their music's based in history. You know, like you think, oh, the guy's just a devil worshiper. But it's actually, you know, he looks back on history and they write songs about history and,
even Iron Maiden is a historical reference.
Exactly.
Interesting. Well, I am enlightened. Maybe I need to start listening to the Maiden.
Yeah, you might need to.
So I'm going to Instagram a photo right now with your approval.
Of me wearing my visor. Visorgate blew up on the internet. Hashtag Visorgate.
Visorgate is real, dude. I mean, people are up in arms. They're taking sides.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah. I hate to say I'm on the losing side of this debate.
Yeah, people are like, dude, let him wear a visor. What's the big deal? Do I not get to look at the thing? Or are you just going pushing it live without my approval?
I'll let you see it. I got a bad
one. Are my nostrils flaring? Like, what? Did you get the good side of me?
I got a good one. So this is going to go out right now. All Instagram is at Surf Splendor, by the way. Scott's wearing a visor. If you want to hear 2 weeks ago, we had a show. And I criticized Scott for wearing a visor in the surf, by the way. That was the criticism. But I got a lot of flack. People were taking sides. I think, you know, again, most people agreed with you, just like, hey, man, let the guy do what he wants. My mom pulled me aside. She's like, David, I listened to that podcast. That was beneath you.
I'm like, what are you talking about, Mom?
That's
have you ever seen somebody wearing a visor? It never has improved somebody's aesthetic, ever.
Thank you, Mom. I agree with you.
Here's my deal, dude.
Yes.
Function is great, but you can wear a full cap. And that, I've seen guys look, or people improve their aesthetic with a full cap. The visor, on the other hand.
This look at the flowing Norwegian mane. Are you going to deny me that look?
I don't know. I would call that flowing.
People buy visors. People buy visors with this hair that's fake hanging over it. Like, they literally buy
this look.
That's
a novelty hat, though. It's a joke to make their friends laugh.
I beg to differ.
So
they're covering up their bald spot.
Yeah, exactly.
A
couple of other follow-up things real quickly.
Yeah.
Last night, I saw Straight Outta Compton.
Yes.
That film.
I've heard it's good.
Not only is it good, I had an epiphany.
Wow.
Straight Outta Compton, for those who don't know, basically tells the story of the rap group NWA, who pioneered reality rap, you know, is what they called it. It was just like revolutionary at the time, but nobody quite got it at first, and they were paving the way, doing it for free for a long time. I was like, holy crap. Scott is Eazy-E, and I'm Dr. Dre.
Wait a minute. That was your epiphany?
Yeah. We are the NWA of the surf podcast world, dude.
I don't know the story well enough to make any sort of opine on that.
Well, based on the information I just gave you, they pioneered this thing. Everybody, they kind of tried to pitch it to people, and people are like, yeah, I don't know. I don't really listen to that. That's not really my thing, but good luck with it anyway. But they just kept plugging away until finally, bang, something happened.
Nice.
So I think
we're right at that tipping point. Things are going to happen for us here.
We're doing it, dude.
Because
outside of the surfing world, other people have had success with podcasting, obviously. So the platform is proven.
Yeah.
We're just the first. We're the early adapters in the surf sphere. And so
I've been doing it for 10 years.
That's why you're Eazy-E. Well, that and the Jerry curl that you used to have back in the
right.
day, you know, of course.
You had to go there. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think we're that, and I'm looking to really, I think one of your previous co-hosts might have been Ice Cube, because Ice
Marty?
Cube.
Marty?
Maybe, I'm not sure. You had a couple. But Ice Cube basically left the band early, went off and did his own thing, had a lot of success, obviously, so maybe Marty is that guy.
Yeah, maybe that's Marty.
But I'll take the Dre roll for sure.
Marty
I'm going to be
Pons.
Selling headphones to our listeners in 10 years from now.
Nice.
Beats by Scales. Straight out of Wasp Town is what we're calling it.
Yeah. Both my children saw the movie.
Did they like it?
Yeah. I said it was great.
Nice.
Yeah. I saw Vacation.
Oh, wow.
That was a funny ass movie.
Was it really?
Yeah, I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Oh, wow. Because I like the Vacation movies in general, but the reviews for that were not stellar.
Well, look, it's, you know, take all the, you know, most sophomoric, you know, sort of cliches that you can find and then make a movie out of it. It is what it is. It's not Martin Scorsese.
No, of course.
It's Ed Helms and Christina Applegate.
Equally valid, though. I love that just as much as Scorsese.
Yeah, no, the thing is with movie reviewers, right? Tell me if I'm wrong, but for especially comedies, they rarely get it. You know, you're not going to get Meryl Streep in a comedy doing some, you know, she might be in a romantic comedy where they might give it some, you know, positive reviews, but when you get, you know, Seth MacFarlane type comedy, there's rarely to reviewers, you know, they don't want to be, they don't want to lower themselves to liking a comedy that's just about, you know,
fart jokes,
potty jokes. Yeah.
Well, I agree. In general, that's true. But like, they did review Trainwreck really well, for example. That new Amy Schumer movie, you know, that's done really well. And
I heard
it's funny.
Did you see it? I heard that movie went on about 20 minutes too long. Like, at first it was like, okay, refreshing vagina humor. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, you're kind of going, okay, she's done all the bits from her stand-up or whatever. You know, she's kind of done it all. And they kept going.
Right. Yeah. No.
I think that's the case with most movies and surf video clips, for that matter. They tend to go a little too long.
Good point.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
Did you see Surfing Magazine did this thing called The Factory? They did it yesterday. They put it out yesterday.
I didn't watch yesterday. I watched all the lead-up to it. They put out teasers over the last couple of months.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just saw it randomly because, you know, it caught my eye because they were talking about what's your favorite music put to surf video clips.
Okay.
And they pulled five, like, B-list pro surfers. Some you could maybe say are A-minus list pro surfers. And they said, hey, what's the favorite music you want put to your clip, right? And so Yaden Nickel put Crystal, the song Crystal by New Order, to his video clip. Chippa Wilson. Is that Chippa Wilson?
Chippa.
Chippa Mike.
Chris Wilson, Chippa Wilson.
Chippa Wilson put a Black Sabbath song, Under the Sun, Every Day Comes and Goes. Connor Coffin put this song by the band, King Harvest.
Okay.
I can see you rolling your eyes at that one.
No, I'm hip to it.
And then Yago Dora. Yeah. Excuse me. Who's Yago Dora?
Of course you are.
Is he a B-lister or a C-lister?
That says more about you than it says about Yago, by the way.
No, I'm sure Yago rips just like a million other B-listers that are, you know.
Well, you haven't even mentioned his country of origin yet, which I thought would have been your first point.
I'm assuming it's Australia.
But no, Brazilian. Brazilian.
Yeah. Well, he put the song Shredder by Jeff the Brotherhood, but he kind of copped out because it was already put to a clip that some producer had done for him, some editor, and he just went, oh, this is my favorite clip. This is the music I like on this. Yeah. But he didn't. So he didn't really put music to a clip, which I thought was kind of a cop-out.
Most of these things, by the way, are done via text message while people are halfway around the world. So maybe, you know.
For sure it is. Yeah. No, it is. And maybe a lot of them are, like, they didn't put the effort in to create their own clip and put their own music to it. Maybe these are just clips that have already in existence. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he didn't understand whether it was that question or the previous question. So,
but Surfing Magazine specifically asked several pros to put their favorite music onto a surfing clip. So in this order of those four, I listened to these and I thought that Yaden Nickel, in my opinion, gets number one with the song Crystal by New Order. It sort of mirrored the surfing that was going on.
Yeah.
It made sense, right? Number two was Yago. The song Shredder by Jeff the Brotherhood, which was sort of this alt music. It was kind of cool relative to his surfing clip.
That's the thing, is it definitely depends on the surfer themselves and their style and their approach and all that. Music is, you can't just transpose one song over a different surfer.
There is one song that you can do that with.
Great.
Yeah. There's one song that you can put to any surfing and it works.
It is Allman Brothers, I'm sure.
It's the Allman Brothers and it's the song Blue Sky.
Yeah.
You can put Blue
Sky. I knew
you
were going to say that.
Yeah. All right.
Because I've seen you say that. Or I saw you made a YouTube video about it.
I did.
Something.
I made an entire horrible video clip about it.
Yeah, and then you like pilfered other footage.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember
exactly.
That.
Pilfered. I prefer to use creative license as the term, not pilfered.
Whatever, dude.
And then number three was the Black Sabbath song that Chippa Wilson, mate, he put to it.
Connor's coming in fourth.
Connor, the band, King Harvest, like, just didn't make sense.
Just what he's into today.
That's what he was into. He's like, this is what I'm listening to, so I'm going to put it onto my music. Yeah. I don't think he gave it much thought.
Right.
I'm going to put it on my surfing clip, excuse me. Right. And it just didn't come out. But I'll let you look at that whenever you get a chance.
Here's my thing. We've done a segment on this show, Best Song Ever, you know. And
every
time. What?
Yeah, we do it all the time.
Well, we did for a long time. We haven't done it in a year, but I think like you'll see that a lot of times. And Stab Magazine had like a Stab FM, and they'd ask a surfer what their favorite song list was, and then they'd upload the playlist so you could listen to it. I really think oftentimes that only serves to kind of gratify the person who is answering the question, and much less the reader, because it's like I read it hoping that he likes something similar that I like. And if he doesn't, I never actually take the time to listen to the songs like you did right now.
Yeah.
I just kind of want my own interests to be validated. But if somebody asks me what I like, I will go on for hours telling you what I like, you know?
Right.
And then I notice the people on the other end kind of get glossy eyed if it doesn't align with their preferences. So I think that's kind of what we figured with that segment on the show. We never really discussed it. It was just kind of like, I say what I like and you let it go in one ear and out the other. You say what you like, I let it go in one ear and out the other. And the listeners probably do the same exact thing. But we both feel good that we got to share something that nobody cares about.
You know? That's sad and wrought with vanity. But
True for music, though.
I will say this. I think if they do a tweak on this concept, it'll work. I think if Surfing or Stab or whoever takes this idea to actual video editors and goes, hey, we know it's hard to get clearance for certain music, like the Beatles or the Stones or whoever it is, like the Foo Fighters or whoever the hot new band is. They're going to be perhaps reluctant to, first of all, it'll be hard to even maybe reach them and get a hold of them to buy license, to buy the music, to put on your surfing clip. So my question is to like the Taylor Steeles of the world or who's the hot filmmaker?
Kai Neville.
Kai's a great
Steele
example.
Protege.
Right, a great example. Ask them, what's the one bit of music that you wanted to use for a clip that you weren't allowed to use? You didn't get the rights or you couldn't reach the artist or their lawyers or whatever. and then have them do a little black market ghetto 2 minute thing with that music and go, wouldn't that have been great? Now, I don't know how legal that is, but they just put Black Sabbath on Chippa Wilson's thing.
Yeah, that's true. Kai is
probably connected.
Kai has said that he goes over budget buying music licensing. Like, he has specific things he falls in love with, and it's just like, I don't care if this costs $30,000, I'm using this.
Good for him.
And I think there's been a few filmmakers who use music that surf filmmakers, they use music that I would never choose on my own, and I wouldn't even like if I was forced to listen to it. But because it's so appropriately used with the surfing, I fall in love with the song. You know, I become endeared to the song. And a couple of those, Kai,
like the Little River Band.
Yeah, Little River.
There's a scene in an old Quicksilver movie with Wayne Lynch that the Little River Band plays.
What song is it?
Oh, it's like some. I'm not going to be able to come up with it now, but man. I'm going to be. We'll search it and figure it out. But
okay. LBR or LRB.
The Little River Band is a band I would never listen to, but you listen to the song and eventually you're like, okay, you know what?
Yeah.
This song, because of the clip, it's pulling on my heartstrings.
There's such a good
scene. There's a Wayne Lynch scene where he's feeding dolphins in the shallows of a lagoon and this Little River Band comes on. It's from an old Quicksilver movie called like Storm Riders or
Is it reminiscing?
It might be. If I heard the song, I'd tell you.
I mean, Reminiscing's their one big hit.
Are you going to play it for us?
Yeah. There's a great sequence in The Other Guys, which is a Will Ferrell film, where he always plays.
I know that movie. No, it's not the song. It's not the song.
Oh, I'm going to zoom.
You know you like this song, dude.
It's so good, dude.
Do you like it because of the movie with Will Ferrell?
It was funny in the movie with Will Ferrell, for sure. But, dude,
this is a good song.
There's a cache of, like, old 80s cheeseball songs that I will roll up the windows and sing my heart out.
Okay, you are officially old. You need to roll the windows down and be proud of it.
No, I'm embarrassed.
Come out of the Little River Band closet, my friend. But check out this Wayne Lynch. Hopefully we'll be able to find the song, but it might even be Christopher Cross or something.
Oh, like Sailing Away.
It's not Sailing. It's not that one, but it might be a Christopher Cross song, but if it's Little River or Christopher Cross.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, what I was going to say is some songs that I absolutely love that I wouldn't necessarily love by filmmakers. Kai Neville's one of them. The other one is just all the stuff that Marine Layer Productions did for a couple of years. Dane Reynolds and Minnie Blanchard.
Yeah.
It's like they would use music that was so esoteric and strange that I would never come across, but it all worked perfectly with Dane surfing and Jason's lo-fi style of editing, you know, and I ended up then finding that music and listening, and it became part of my repertoire.
You know, you could argue that that's the power of some of these surf video clips. I mean, 20 years from now, you're going to hear that song and be stoked, and you might not even remember what the surfing was, you know, and that's sort of the case with like some of these other songs that you come across thanks to these surf edits.
Yeah.
And 5 years from now, I know that song from somewhere. I really like it, and I want to listen to it, and I might buy the CD or download the music or whatever it is.
Right.
But I don't remember the surf video clip. I think it was Yaden Nickel somewhere or whatever. Mm-hmm. Actually, Yago Dora says that in this thing. He says, look, I like to listen to Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd. I'm not even into this music, but this guy who did the edit for me put this song in there, and I really like this song. Mm-hmm. And now I'm opening up to this band that I would have.
Totally.
You know, like you said.
Yeah, totally. No, that's a great point. Very good. Do you want to talk about the Billabong Pro?
No, I want to talk about Surf Snowdonia, which has apparently shut down for maintenance reasons already. We've had like 1 or 2 weeks in, and they've had to... They literally pull the plug and drain the thing.
6 million gallons.
Oh, so you're a hip to this story.
Well, they are my kook, but...
Oh.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, is that they're down for maintenance issues. They're booked all the way through, you know, till school starts, which I guess is this week, and they've had to basically cancel all of these appointments, lose a ton of revenue. It's sort of the worst case scenario. You know, you want to at least be running for 3 months and into the winter before a maintenance issue happens. Right. But also, just like a new boat, this is where you work out all the issues with these things is the first 3 months. You know,
generally not when people have flown halfway around the world to ride that boat.
Regardless of that, this is when these issues occur in new technology, you know, physical technology where you're like, okay, let's work out the
Yeah,
but you would have hoped they would have worked them out before.
Exactly. Booking. Yeah, and so here's.
But they were against budget, and they had timelines, and they had to make. You know.
So I interviewed Tom Resvin last week to talk about his experience. We talked about him.
Yes.
He was the first surfer to actually ride that wave at its like proper size.
Yeah. What's the proper size? They're calling it 2 meters, which is what, 5.5 feet?
Yeah.
It was is like, that a 5.5?
No.
Yeah, it's like a 3 foot wave.
Yeah. It's like waist to shoulder high, you know, basically. Well,
that's good. Waist to shoulder's pretty good.
So he wrote it, you know, a week or two prior to them opening to the public to give him feedback and all that sort of thing. And so you can listen to that episode. It was last week's episode if people want to listen. But basically, he said that he's also surfed that wave in the United Arab Emirates.
Way better.
No, not way better, but he's like, dude, that pool in the desert in the Middle East is in 100 degree weather, beyond 100 degree weather, super rugged elements all day, every day, and it works perfectly. Like, if any mechanical breakdown was going to happen, it would happen in that environment. And he's like, I don't know what they do to keep it from breaking down, whether it's air conditioned or whatever, but he's like, it's really unacceptable for Snowdonia to have this major of a catastrophic malfunction this early in the game. And he goes, especially, like he said, when people flew around the world, spent tons of money, they're only going to be there for 3 or 4 days, and you can't ride the thing at all. It's like people are out tons of money. Tourists are. Yeah. So bad PR for, you know, Surf Snowdonia and
the general North Wales region. Exactly. The Chamber of Commerce guy's like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. North Wales is now the new place for outdoor enthusiasts or whatever he said.
Right. Because there's a bunch of things to do there other than just surf. Tons of outdoor stuff. But in the weeks prior to closing the park, you know, the few weeks that they were open, they were receiving 1,000 visitors a day and I guess 3,500 surfers overall in that period of time. So it's a lot of people whose plans got bumped for the closure.
And I think Beach Grit, I don't know if you saw, I think Derek Riley or one of those guys at Beach Grit did this. They saw a review on Surf Snowdonia by just your average Joe guy that has a blog. It wasn't like a review for, you know, any major, you know, news surf news outlet or whatever. And he came across it and he found it refreshing that it was sort of a letdown. The guy wrote this blog and he was kind of like, you know what? It was lame.
Really?
And again, I can't, you know, word for word or even paraphrase how the thing went down. But check Beach Grit because he basically cut and paste the whole blog on there. And it's pretty interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Rezzy said it's fine. Like as a wave, if you compared it to something in the ocean, it's kind of like Malibu or Lowers, like a blend of the two, where it is kind of like a reeling point break, but a little bit soft. And like, you know, those waves sometimes that are like soft, but fast. So you can never quite
frustrating.
Yeah. You can never quite get a good crack on them.
Right.
It's like you're racing, but then you tap it and you're like, crap, I should have bashed that thing. But I didn't have time to do a bottom turn. I just needed to make the section. And that's kind of the position.
Yeah, and that's, I told you that there's, you know, the wave energy out on the shoulder is nil.
Right.
You have to be in the zone. So when you go out onto the shoulder, you all of a sudden you're out in this like dead zone, even though you're on a relatively vertical wave face, there's just not a lot of energy there.
Right.
And that's part of the problem.
Yeah, exactly. He said he was riding like EPS, you know, because it's fresh water as well. So you just need like lightweight. You need different equipment, basically, to surf fresh water.
Yeah.
So when I did that interview, by the way.
Rezzy, what did he have to say?
He has a lot to
say. I know, that guy's a talker, I'm telling you.
I think we squeezed an hour and a half interview into 45 minutes.
Nice.
No joke. But it's amazing because I don't even have to ask questions.
Yeah, he just rolls.
I ask one question and then I'll have like in my notes 20 questions and he'll just ping pong them. Like he'll hit them without me even asking. I just sit there nodding and then he'll come to like an abrupt stop.
Well, listeners must have been happy.
No, they loved it actually. I mean, honestly.
Less David, more Rezzy.
Exactly. I see what you're saying. So anyway, he'd come to like an abrupt stop and then I'd kind of like, you know, zoom back in and be like, oh, and then I'd have to scan my notes to figure out which of the 20 questions he didn't quite and which fits into the narrative now. And it's less work for me in certain ways, but more work in others. But he's a great, great guest.
Yeah,
people always like him.
Yeah.
Interestingly, we recorded this interview in Huntington Beach in a little side street, kind of back alley seating area outside of a coffee place. And in that 45 minutes, Rusty Long walked by, little cameo appearance. Ryan Turner walked by, little cameo appearance. And I was like, you know, it is Surf City USA, but I take it for granted. And I probably could have gone down to the pier and watched Sippo surf that day if I wanted to. And whoever else, Courtney Conlog. And that's kind of a rare thing. It's common for you and I in Southern California to be around all these pro surfers and they're just cruising and part of the scenery. But for people listening to the show around the world, it's probably awesome, you know, to think that you can just be at the beach and have pros come through at any given time. Be like you're going to play a pickup game of basketball at the park and LeBron's playing on the court next to you.
Not LeBron. More like, you know, a guy who rides the bench for, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow.
No, seriously.
Straight burning.
No, I'm not, but I mean.
Rusty Long.
The question is, what is a pro surfer is my point. Like
a guy who makes a living riding a surfboard?
Well, I don't know that Ryan Turner makes a living. Maybe he does.
He was actually on his break from the Sugar Shack at the time.
Yeah, and Rusty was there because he works for Reef. He's a sales rep.
Right.
And so, you know, it'd be one thing if, you know, okay, Kelly and Julian Wilson walked by you, then maybe it's like LeBron.
I've seen
That's
them.
That's LeBron.
I've seen them there
too. But you didn't. My point is that...
Not while we were recording, but we have seen those guys paddle out. I mean, I've been surfing 54th Street randomly and Julian shows up.
Yeah.
You know? And so you have a good point as well. I'll recant my original wording and say surf celebrities walk by, not pro surfers.
Well, I mean, and maybe they are pro surfers. You know, we always get into this conversation. It's just like, you're a pro surfer. I mean, like, what does it take? What is the...
I definitely am not.
You make more money from surfing than some people might.
But not from the act of riding the surfboard.
Right. Well, either does Ryan Turner or Rusty Long, but you still consider... Why do you consider them pro surfers?
Because they started that way. I still view them that way.
So they're retired.
Unofficially. I just view them as being a
professional.
But I mean, I totally understand what you're saying. My point is just that it's rad to be around all these people at all times. And we take it for granted.
It's very cool to be around Rusty Long because he's such a great person. Hmm. I don't know Ryan Turner, so I don't know what it's like to be around him.
Yeah.
But...
When you're hiring for a small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role, and there's no faster or effective way than through LinkedIn Jobs. Your time and capital are precious, and there is a powerful resource that can help you focus on what you're good at and integrate people into your team seamlessly to help grow your business. LinkedIn Jobs has created the tools to find the right professionals for your team efficiently and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. Everyone is already on LinkedIn with their resumes and references, and now LinkedIn has designed a hiring platform to connect you with candidates specifically qualified for the job that you post about. More than a billion professionals meticulously organized to connect people by skill set to help us all advance our position. 2.5 million businesses already use LinkedIn for hiring, and 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. It's that fast, easy to use, and effective. LinkedIn Jobs can help you write job descriptions, filter the right person to you, and give you the tools to help you interview them like a pro. LinkedInJobs.com/surf is where you go to post your job for free. Yes, totally free. That's linkedinjobs.com/surf to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ryan, for those who don't know, Ryan and his brother Timmy, their parents own the Sugar Shack, which is a restaurant on Main Street in Huntington Beach, and it's kind of a mainstay.
Timmy's a great guy. I love that guy.
Yeah. His stuff, the films that he was making back, you know, in the mid-2000s were incredible. Timmy Turner.
Last time I saw him, he was feeding me oatmeal at the Sugar Shack.
Exactly.
I love that guy.
That's the thing. He's
the coolest guy in the world.
He'll put in months at his family's business and then go to Indo for months.
Yeah.
What was the name of that movie? Second Thoughts.
Maybe.
Second Thoughts was the name of Timmy Turner, where he, like, rather than going and riding on a fancy boat like Scott Bass does in Indonesia wearing a visor, Timmy goes and, like, camps out on the beach, has to hike to spots, cook a goat for dinner, you know, that sort of stuff. That video is rad.
Yeah. There's been a line of, you know, a line of thought regarding, you know, what is feral? You know, like, is forced feral, or, you know,
there's different degrees of feral and ferality.
And what is adventure surf travel? You know,
I don't know.
Adventure basically means that you have to rough it and it's uncomfortable.
Okay.
And if you don't rough it and it's not uncomfortable, it's not adventurous.
Well, I got a perfect segue. I did an adventure through the Central Coast the last few days, like Wednesday through Saturday.
Why was it adventurous?
Because I had to rough it, to your point.
The Central Coast of California.
Yes.
What did you do? Would you have to go to an IHOP instead of a Denny's, or what's the deal? So,
both of those are roughing it, by the way.
Not for you. Denny's is an upgrade.
Waffle House? So check it. My dad was going to be in Monterey, and I was like, on Saturday. So I'm like, oh, I'll come up and meet you in Monterey, you know, just hang out. But I left. It's a 5-hour drive. I left on Wednesday to make it to Monterey on Saturday. And I just figured I'll camp in the Central Coast along the way. I kind of been interested in camping. I haven't done it for a few years. And so
Why were you interested in camping all of a sudden if you haven't done it for a few years?
Because I read that
book. You dusted off some.
Yeah, yeah.
I read a Finnegan's book?
No, dude. No, but I do want to read that. It's even more embarrassing. I'm going deep into the depths right now of David. But
okay, what do you read?
I read that book, Wild. It's Reese Witherspoon made a movie about it last year or something. Yeah, yeah. The book is phenomenal.
This girl
who's like at her life's like turning point.
It's kind of like Into the Wild by Krakauer.
It is a little bit. Yeah. She's like heroin addict, leaves her husband, her mom dies of cancer. She needs to like rediscover herself.
So this book got you into camping.
So she hikes the Pacific Crest Trail. Yeah. And
that's
read it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. She does like a 1,000-mile hike or something. But anyway.
Is she detoxing? Well, or is she already detoxed?
She had already detoxed.
Okay.
But still, like
she's
fully
trying to find herself, find some spiritual awakening.
And she does.
And did you?
Spoiler alert.
Camping.
Yeah. Took me 2 days.
Only 2 days, no Pacific Coast Trail. That's what IHOP will do to you, dude. IHOP is a spiritual awakening.
2 days, dude. I literally, so that's the joke is like, I was like, I'm going to camp through the week, like through Wednesday, and then I'm going to meet up with my dad. Dude, after 2 days of camping, which by the way, wasn't even that bad at all. I was like, I booked a hotel the third night.
You're like, I found God, I'm booking a hotel.
Doesn't take me long. I'm a fast learner,
good
you know?
You.
But it was like, it was definitely rad, like just hiking into surf spots with nobody out in the water. There's a lot of kelp and it's a little creepy out there by yourself. And like, it was super creepy, dude. Yeah. I had a few moments where I felt just as scared enough to like be very grateful for Orange County.
There you go. You know? Which brings into account, you know, a lot of people, I've said this with you before, people go, why is surfing so great? Well, one of the reasons is what you experienced. You went into the food chain, mm-hmm. right? You were freaked out. When you got back on land, you were like, you know, doing a little Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And just stoked that, you know.
Stoked that I can climb into my vehicle with heated seats.
Yeah, like the, you know, simple, like, the simple things in life.
Exactly.
You know? Stoked that your iPhone got you to the next aisle.
Exactly. Poor reception out there, by the way.
That sucks.
Dude, I literally.
You know where there's poor reception? On an island in Indo with Timmy Turner. That's where there's poor reception.
Seriously? Did not eat one meal at the campsite. Like I
IHOP all the way, baby.
No IHOP either. I was using Yelp and finding it's all
Quiznos.
It's all agricultural area, so there's actually really good food and wine and coffee.
Coffee, yeah. Like some like local coffee houses.
Yeah, locally roasted or whatever. But
garlic coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Gilroy garlic capital. There's a lot of capitals, by the way, around that area.
Yeah,
artichoke capital. Pistachio capital.
IHOP capital.
Yeah. What's your IHOP thing? You're super into IHOP right now, dude. Did you not eat breakfast today or something?
Okay, next topic then.
Billabong Pro or?
No, the auction, dude. The auction's coming up. Big auction. California Gold Vintage Surf Auction. This is the whole auction segment. Are you prepared for this?
You have been a busy bee, dude.
I know. I've been too busy. It's been crazy.
Too busy. Too busy to go on surf adventures.
So this is the segment where, yes, the answer is yes, no surf adventures. There's been no surf. The waves have been, it's been the worst summer ever.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that whole Central Coast thing.
You say that a lot.
No, that Central Coast thing was kind of a bust. Like, I surfed because I was there to surf, but did not get waves.
No. And the water temperature?
Warm, dude. All the way into Monterey, it was in the low 60s.
Nice.
If you can believe, I've never seen that
before. I do believe
that.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty rare. And there's been a lot of El Nino talk and... And yeah, again, the surf in Southern California, especially in San Diego, has been just dismal for probably 2 months, I would say.
Yeah,
maybe
brutal.
More.
Brutal.
But the auction. So the idea here is for, well, first of all, it's California Gold Vintage Surf Auction. It's presented by Griff's, hashtag groom like Griff.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Griff's is a groom and barbering product.
Oh, I see.
Made by surfers for surfers and for everybody else for that matter.
Barbering product. What's the product? Like pomade hair thing?
Like a grit for your hair and like a scalp
like a
cleanser.
Oh, okay. It's a cleaner.
Yeah, there's a scalp cleanser. There's a scalp conditioner. There's a shampoo, like the whole deal, you know.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Give you the surf look.
Yeah, you need some Griff's based on what I'm seeing right here. Like
this backlash from the visor.
You need a visor.
Basically. Backlash from the visor.
Here, just put it on. Go ahead, put it on.
That will not touch my head.
Oh my God.
First of all,
I'm handing him
filthy.
The visor right now.
I don't want to get lice, dude. Come on.
Oh my.
All right, perfect.
Guy just worked me. The auction is coming up. So there's so many. We have 62 live auction surfboards.
Okay.
I'm very excited about it. And I want to tell you about some of them, but I'm hoping that we can turn this into a segment somehow. So maybe you can just like, I'll tell you what. What do you want to hear about? Do you want to hear about the World Championship set? That's probably in your wheelhouse.
Whatever you want to pitch.
The World Championship set includes surfboards of and by Tom Carroll, Sean Thompson, Martin Potter, Tom Curran. Who am I missing? Maybe one other.
So they're all part of a set. You got to buy the lot.
No, they're each individual lots, but it's under the umbrella of the World Champions set.
Got it.
So we've got these great boards by these guys and
boards that they rode in competition.
Well, Tom Carroll's is this really killer Simon Anderson shaped energy single fin from his rookie season on the North Shore. We've got great photographs of him riding it at Pipeline in the Pipe Masters. I've been talking with Tom about the board a little bit on Facebook, and he's been telling me some great little anecdotes about that final heat at the Pipe Masters, where Larry Blair and Sean Thompson and these guys were like, you know, basically veterans, and they were kind of icing him and pushing him too deep. And I think Tom, I'll have to look at my notes, but I think he got third or fourth in the final.
Yeah,
but here's this rookie kid on tour, you know, in the finals at the Pipe Masters, and we've got the board from that session, and it's in great shape. It's beautiful, and it's just one of the neat boards that, you know, that I love history, as you know. I'm a big nonfiction reader, and each one of these boards has got so much history attached to it, and all 62 boards in the auction are filled with provenance. So this is one of those boards, and, you know, we've got the Saint model, Martin Potter. This isn't Martin Potter's personal board. It's a board that was built by Glenn Pang in the mid-80s. It's a great representation of what Martin Potter rode. Martin Potter signed this board. So we have this great Town and Country with the classic Saint paint job, you know, that green and yellow sort of new wave vibe paint job. We've got, of course, the Tom Curran board, right, which is the most incredible stickerless reverse V board that Tom rode through the Haleiwa Pro to victory, and then
it's historically an important board.
Yeah, well, they all are historically important, I think. But this one, because of the Tom Survey image, which is considered by some like the most classic surf picture ever, you know, this board has got a lot of mojo.
Yeah,
and Maurice Cole shaped it.
Right. So tell me about the auction itself. How long has it been going on? Is it once a year?
The auction's biennial.
Okay.
Which is every 2 years.
Got it.
It's been going on since probably 2001.
Okay.
Was the first one.
So there's been seven of these thus far or something to that effect.
Randy Rarick held them in Hawaii until 2011.
Okay.
And basically handed the reins over to myself and to the Surfing Heritage and Culture Center to you know, take on the heavy load, and Randy helps me find the boards and get the boards up to auction speed.
He's like American Pickers, guys.
He is.
He knows everybody. He's been everywhere and like has more access. And I would assume too, as the auctions gain steam over time, people probably see numbers boards fetching higher and higher numbers. And if they have something like that in their garage, probably a little more apt to part ways with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, from an investment standpoint, they're great investments. You know, they don't lose. There's only so many of these boards. These aren't boards that are mass produced by a computer. These are hand shaped boards by Jerry Lopez, by, you know, all sorts of legends, George Downing, you know, just the list is endless. I could go on and on. I wouldn't want to leave anyone out, but from an investment standpoint, if you have one of these in your garage, you're sitting pretty.
Oh yeah.
You know, and so we're excited. I mean, there's just so many great boards. I've got this list here. I don't know if any of it interests you.
Well, where can people access that list?
Well, let's do that. I'm in the process of building the program, which means writing the copy for the program, the words that describe the boards, and mm-hmm. getting the pictures made. So the program will be available and online within 2 weeks.
What's the website?
TheVintageSurfAuction.com.
When does it take place?
TheVintageSurfAuction.com, September 26th. Excellent. In Culver City.
You said those are live auctions. Can people access or bid online?
You cannot bid online. You have to be at the auction to bid. But if you're, like, say, in England and you want to buy a board, you can have a proxy bidder there for you.
Got it.
Somebody like yourself, David Lee Scales, you could go there and be the proxy bidder for somebody in England or on the East Coast or wherever.
Got it.
And we're going to have a bunch of legends there. Of course, Sean Thompson will be there. Tom Kern will be there. Barry Kanayapuni will be there. Greg Knoll will be there. Mickey Munoz will be there. Maurice Cole. Hopefully, Tom Carroll will be there. I've been chatting with Tom. Tom might be here for the Lowers event. It's right after the Lowers event.
Smart.
So there'll be a bunch of guys in town. Who knows? You know, maybe some of these B-listers from Huntington Beach will roll up and we can hobnob with them.
I suppose when you put those names in the mix, it does make my cameos feel very inadequate.
It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah.
And the auction. Dave's like, let's move away from the auction.
Got the auction, dude.
He's like, what's the website? What's the date? Okay, next.
Perfect. Well, it's because I'm excited about the Billabong Pro, man. We're going into the final day. We need to wrap up the show in the next 30 minutes because it's going to start at 10:30 and I want to watch it.
Okay, you're down. I'm down with it. I know where you're coming. Yes. The answer is yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Billabong Pro.
Billabong Pro.
So they went on seven lay days, and they just resumed competition yesterday. By the time people listen to this, a winner will have been chosen. But there's a few things I'd like to discuss about the event thus far.
Okay.
Every time they do the morning call, and Rosie Hodge is sitting with Kieran Perreault in the channel.
Yeah.
She goes, so Kieran, are we going to get today's competition underway? The first word he always says is yes. Even on the lay days, she'll be like, so, you know, it's kind of, there's a bit of storm out there today and the waves aren't so good. Are we going to get today's competition underway? He goes, yeah, you know, there is a bit of a storm out there today. He'll say yeah to like validate whatever it was she was talking about. But I'm like, no, don't use the exact opposite word. Her final question out of her mouth is, are we going to resume competition? Meaning the first word out of your mouth needs to be no, because it throws me off every single time. I encourage listeners, go back, watch all the morning shows. He does it every single time, and it's driving me insane.
How absolutely beautiful is Rosie Hodge, by the way? Like, she's gorgeous. She's like they could definitely use more Rosie Hodge on that thing. Like,
well, even smart, articulate, all nuanced, all of it. But I agree. I know she's beautiful, and then the camera cuts to her, and I'm like,
incredibly beautiful, like
in a trance.
And are Ronnie Blakey and her, like, they are destined to get married and have beautiful children? Like, it seems like that's the case.
She's in a long-term relationship with a local San Clemente dude.
You're kidding me.
No, she lives here.
Oh, really?
We're in San Clemente right now, by the way.
Oh, wow.
She's...
Well, who's the lucky guy?
I don't need to
Him.
No, I don't know him, but, like, he's in the circle. Like, I know people that know him and all that sort of stuff.
Well, he's a lucky guy, whoever it is. I can't believe you're holding him back right now and you're not telling us because you're like afraid that he's going to find out you were talking about their relationship on the air and that's you're going to be like shunned or something.
Dude, he's not a public figure. It's not like, you know,
she is, therefore he is.
That's true.
I mean, look at Oprah's dude. What's his name?
Stedman, of course.
Yeah, Stedman. Like, who the hell's that? I don't know. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
Yeah, he's Oprah's dude.
Yeah, he's Oprah's dude. So who's Rosie's dude?
Well, you know, this. If we want to go down that route, we can. We could be the TMZ of surf culture.
No. Okay, you know what? You've righted the ship.
Okay.
I won't go there, but I just want to say that she's gorgeous.
Unbelievable.
And
while I won't call him out, I will comment on how beautiful his yeah, girlfriend is.
And she's smart. She's all those things she said. And so why not put her in the seat instead of some of these other people?
They have been. It seems like she's been getting more and more airtime. She's proven herself.
She's incredible.
Fantastic. I agree completely. I think overall, like, the production has improved.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but did you hear, see what Matt Warshaw wrote about Rosie Hodge?
No.
So Matt Warshaw, did you see the thing on Beach Crit that he did?
I've seen various things.
Well, recently he wrote a thing about the commentary, probably after the first round of the Billabong Pro.
Okay.
He's like,
I did not.
It was his time to pick the low-lying fruit and diss the WSL commentators. And he went on and he basically, you know, let me try to find. Oh, so he goes, this is on Beach Grit. He goes, Martin Potter's jaw-grinding voice sounds as if it's been filtered through six espresso shots and a migraine headache. Ross Williams has me considering preemptive adenoidal surgery for my son. Todd Klein, is he a car salesman? And then he says, Rosie Hodge, ? Who can even hear her above the angel choir and the softly strumming lutes? Which is exactly right. You don't even really hear what she's saying. I just
that is
picture her.
So solid.
Then he rips on Joe Turpel.
I disagree with everything that he said other than the Rosie Hodge bit. Like, I mean, he's got a point and it is very funny, but I don't feel that same way at all. I think those guys are doing a fantastic job.
Well, he sort of does too. Initially, he wrote something completely different. It was on a totally different line of thought, and he chimed in a little bit at the end about the WSL commentators. Then Beach Grit, Derek Riley, goes, Matt, the only thing you said that I was interested in was the WSL commentators. Can you pontificate more, or elaborate, I should say? And so then for Beach Grit, Matt elaborated, and this is where this came out. But he sort of, there was a caveat to it in that he said, hey, look, you know, these guys, what they do is hard.
Yeah,
this is low-lying fruit. I get it. Beach Crit wanted me to comment.
Yeah.
Wanted my commentary to continue on this, so I did. And this is his. These are his thoughts. I mean, you should hear Joe Turpel. He goes off on Joe Turpel, basically saying, "No, this is
Joe has it coming." By the way,
during a trifling round two heat between a couple of backbenchers, Peter Mel from the channel reported that he wasn't sure if Glenn Simpson was or was not riding a quad. And Turpel replied, thanks for the insight, Pete. At which point, a rhesus monkey began flinging itself against the opposing sides of my skull because Mel's comment was exactly, definitely, almost scientifically the opposite of insightful. And Turpel hurts me on both a professional and personal level.
It's
that's
so
Matt
true.
Warshaw, and that's pretty good because
it's pretty accurate.
You know, Joe does, I mean, like you and I have talked about this, there could be an earthquake and a tsunami and Joe would be like, hey, look at that beautiful wave rolling in.
Exactly. But with subdued passion. Like, somebody will get blown out and he'll just be like, wow, what a great barrel, you know? And it's not like screaming at the top. He's not jumping out of his seat ever.
Yeah.
He's just that. Yeah, I fully
but
agree.
Like, and I even commented with, I chimed back and forth with Matt about it. He gets it. I was like, you know, low-lying fruit, easy to do. Let's try to solve the problem. And you know, of course, by the way, I've been leading the discussion on WSL commentators on this show, Downline Radio, as far back as like 2004. At one point, I scribed that GT, somebody should mix in a morning Ambien with his decaf because he just froths at the mouth. So, and my point is that that's not that clever. It's just that it's easy, low-lying fruit.
Yeah.
These guys, what these guys do is difficult. And so my commentary, I don't know if I've told you this before, but my feeling is what they should do is pick the A team. At this point, we think it might be Ron Blakey and Ross Williams, but they could get rid of Ross and put Rosie. It would be great if it was Ronnie Blakey and Rosie Hodge. We wouldn't even have a color commentator. It would just be two analysts. Ronnie can do the color commentator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you pick the number one team, whatever it is. Maybe it's Joe and Martin. It doesn't matter. Whoever they deem the number one, it does matter, really.
But. Sure.
And they hold them back. We don't even see them
okay.
until, say, round five on. And of course, they've been watching the show, the broadcast or the
condensing down into
and they've been getting their opinions sorted. And the production staff in the back end is now getting all the B-roll for them that they can go, hey, remember in round one, we saw Kelly do this, and here's my thoughts on that. And of course, that takes place during the downtime in those heats when there's not any waves being ridden and we need to fluff it up somehow.
Right.
So we hold on to those guys. So you and I, the viewers, don't get them. We don't get, you know, Bob Costas until the last couple innings, until it's important.
I get it.
And I think that would do a lot.
Rather than just alternating every three hits.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Strider seems to be the GT replacement in terms of just being that over-frothed, can't get a sentence out of his mouth without it stumbling upon the previous sentence.
I wouldn't even tell you what Matt wrote about Strider. Well, I don't even have it here. I was embarrassed to say it because I like Strider. I think he's a great guy, but I think everything's been said about Strider that needs to be said.
But he's actually improved, and I feel like they found a role for him that's perfect, which is sitting in the channel
water,
and then pitching to him and go, hey, what's it like to paddle into a set wave at Chopu? And he breaks it down because he can speak eloquently and passionately about paddling into a set wave at Chopu. Whereas Ross can analyze the numbers much more accurately. You know what I mean? So I think that
I think Ross probably does just as good a job. He's dropped into waves at Chopu. I'm not saying he's as good a surfer as Strider is out there.
I think he is.
But my point is that
I agree.
Ross can break it down just as good. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather see Rosie in the channel telling me about how hard it is to paddle into a wave at Chopu.
Pete Mel kind of does a similar thing, but they give him like the forecast bit and the surfboard bit. Like, those are his areas of expertise.
They need to open that
up. But he's a big wave world champ. Like, he could as easily talk about getting waves at Chopu.
Absolutely. And basically what Matt said about Strider, I'll just break it down, was that Strider's proof positive that the WSL doesn't want to improve their product.
Ooh.
The fact that he's still around.
Oh.
That's from Matt, not from me.
Wow.
But it's sort of, you know, if they want to improve their product, certainly there's lots of places you could go, and that might be one of them.
Well, I was surprised this season when they did not bring back, I was not surprised when they did not bring back Pat Parnell. I thought that was smart.
But, I heard that was a money thing. Wanted a lot more money, and they weren't willing to pay it. Not to mention, he called Julian Wilson Owen Wilson and Owen Wilson.
Oh,
Owen Wright,
a million
Owen
mistakes. Yeah. But when they made a few cuts like that, I thought that Strider might have gotten the axe at that point. But when he came back, it felt like he got coached up and like he had improved his product and all that sort of thing. But I agree, not to the point of Ronnie Blakey's professionalism, who is the male version of Rosie Hodge, as you pointed out.
Yeah, they should have children. Quite frankly, like. That's
I'm
like
not
a, that's
deny
something
that.
You would see on Beach Grit.
I mean, if humanity wants to improve their product.
Exactly. Oh my.
So, what else about the Billabong Pro? Did you have thoughts about it? One thing is that relates to you and your boardroom show and surfboards. Josh Kerr is winning on an asymmetrical surfboard that he shaped, quote unquote, probably helped shape, with Rusty.
Yeah.
And we've talked about in the past, he's ridden asymmetrical boards out there. And you know, we've got in San Diego, in your hood, you've got Carl Ekstrom, who had the patent on asymmetrical boards. You have Ryan Birch here in San Clemente. We have Donald Brink, who's been a
By the way, Donald Brink is on a Coors Light commercial on national TV.
What?
I swear to God, I saw Donald Brink on like the Golf Channel or something. Sorry. On the Golf Channel or someplace.
On
maybe,
YouTube.
Maybe it was on NFL Network or no, this was on
Are
national.
You 100% sure
yes.
it's him? You
Donald Brink him. Is in a Coors Light commercial. He's talking. He's surfing.
What?
And then they've got like that, you know, that sort of romantic front backlit sunset shot where they're having a coldie as a refreshment. And
as opposed
and
to,
and then it says like Coors Light for more, go to CoorsLight.com/brinksurf.com or whatever. Like,
wow,
he's like nationally known.
Wow, that's crazy. Is it like an asymmetrical can that they're introducing or something?
No, it's more of a lifestyle thing. Like, there's this hipster dude with glasses from South Africa that's super smart. And, you know,
and has a great PR team, apparently, or marketing or management guy.
He kind of sells himself. He's such a sweetheart that people go, yeah, I love this guy. And he does this and he's smart and he's from South Africa. And
that's a story in and of itself, dude. I'll find that video and try to get it on Surf Splendor Podcast.
Call him. Call Brink. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, so anyways, asymmetry is what we're talking about. And that board that Josh Kerr is winning on is currently being auctioned on eBay.
Yeah.
And they're going to give the proceeds to charity, and the charity for this board is Fleahab.
Right. That's what I saw.
Fleva Roscoe's, you know, drug rehab program that he's got going on in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool. Number one, that Kerr's pushing design. And then number two, that they're donating the proceeds.
It is cool. And he's surfing well, you know. Surfboard wise, the thing that I'm really looking at is that Kelly Slater's riding this Weber four fin, this quad fin. And it's kind of neat, you know. And quite frankly, I keep waiting for the board to not work. And it seems to be working pretty good for him.
Yeah. I think it was round one, maybe, or maybe it was.
Yeah, where you were kind of going, I was really studying the board and going, maybe Kelly's just so good. He's making the board look good.
I want to say it feels longer ago than that. I'm wondering if maybe it was Cloudbreak. He rode it in round one.
He did ride it. Yeah.
I think it was. And it did not look good. And he lost the heat. And I was like, oh, that was a mistake. But if it is the same board, it's certainly a Weber. He is ripping on it now. That yesterday he surfed really, really well.
Yeah.
In both heats.
Yeah, that one wave where he just kind of manned his way through it. It was chandeliering and crumbling.
It was the final minute of that round four heat. He needed a 7-something, and he got the score.
And he just grinded through that foam.
Yeah.
And not to mention, of course, CJ's wave, which was just incredible.
Yeah.
Which was just mind-bending. Like
Houdini.
Like that moment where you're like, okay, he might make it out. No, there's no way he's making it out. Oh, you know what? The wave's over. Why are they still even showing it? And then he just somehow comes out.
Yeah.
You know, that was amazing.
Yeah, that was really amazing.
And Bruno Santos, you know, I have him team. I know Tony Roberts has him on his team.
I
mean, how can you not take a wild card that's won the event before? That's like not taking Joel Parkinson at Jay Bay.
I'm pretty upset about this whole fantasy surfer thing, because it is
kicking your ass again
away out of my grasp so badly. And the problem was, I picked my team a day or two before the event when Bruno wasn't even on the roster. He wasn't available. I would have easily put Bruno on my team.
That's called user error.
It is. And instead I put Glenn Hall on my team, would have done.
That's horrible.
I know. And so I was so upset. And then I even commented on Tony's Facebook thing that I saw you on a couple days before the event. I put my lineup, my roster, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm thinking about subbing out Mick. I had Mick on my team, and replacing him with Gabriel, who's cheaper, so I can use that extra cash to replace Glenn Hall and some of my low end guys. And then I didn't do it, and then Mick loses in round three, Gabriel smokes everybody, and that extra money could have been put to good use, and I would have got rid of Glenn, and now I'd be like riding high and shaming you. And instead,
it's the other way around.
One simple mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kicking your ass again. This whole season has just been the season of Bass, just dominating over David Lee Scales.
Not good, dude.
Fantasy surfer, I own it.
You know, did I mention I'm actually number one in the women's clubhouse?
Yeah, there's only three, and it's like you, your mom, and somebody else.
I don't think that I mentioned that previously. But
yeah, you did last time.
So you're beating me in the men, but what are you, number 50
or something?
I think you're down in 50th
I don't compete in the women. I don't even feel the women's
team. But in the men's,
team.
You're in the 50th position, right?
I'm beating you in the men's, yes.
I'm like maybe 65th, but you're there's 49 dudes ahead of you. Whereas in the women's, I think I'm
where are
one.
They? Where are these? I don't see them in the room. This is just me and you and I. You and
in
I,
the
right?
Women's division.
That's so sad. You know what? You are number one in the women's division. I'm going to make a meme. What are the
meme?
Meme. I'm going to make a meme. You're laughing at me because I don't even know how to pronounce it. That's okay.
That's all right.
A meme. I'm going to make a meme.
Straight out of Wasp Town meme.
Well, look, Bruno's doing great, and he's surfing great. It's too bad he didn't get through. But Gabriel, even the commentators have done a great job of pinpointing that Gabriel seems unstoppable.
Well, you know, when the waves were perfect last year, Gabe looked unstoppable. I will also argue when the waves are unpredictable like they were yesterday, he's also unstoppable. He has the really nimble ability to go high, go low, dodge chandeliers, which Kelly also has. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if they're opposite ends of the draw, but they're the two guys right now.
Is Bruno Santos when he takes off? Right from the takeoff, he does that real soul arch, standing straight up.
Crazy.
That's some style.
Dude,
that's called style.
I thought he had the wrong line on that wave too. Like, you can soul arch if you have that low line where all you're going to do is stand there and get spit out. He dropped in, like you said, late, and then it was a one that you might have had to pump into the high line or something. It was like shifty and weird.
He just soul arched through the back door.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was like, dude, he soul arched over a bump and probably over the foam ball and didn't adjust his position at all. It was gnarly.
He just manned it, and like Dan Kealoha.
I thought consequently that he was soul arching into a closeout, and then the guy just gets spit out, and I was like, whoa.
That was the coolest wave.
Really cool. And I would say Owen Wright is the guy in the third position after Gabe and Kelly that can win it. If the waves are perfect, he can win it. I don't know that he can really navigate as deftly as Gabriel and Kelly, but he's right there, right behind.
And how shallow does it look? It looks so much shallower than I've ever seen it. I mean, you can literally see like the water running off the reef, you can tell it's only 6 inches deep right there. It is uber, uber shallow. I think they need to do a better job, and they're trying to convey that to the viewer that where those guys are falling, it is ridiculously shallow.
Well, a couple things were said about it. On the west or on the south swell they had the previous rounds or the previous days, it runs differently, and there's a little bit more water on the reef. You know, it doesn't quite close out on the end as much. On this west swell that started showing up yesterday, it does get super shallow and dumps you on that 6-inch section.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal. Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
One thing that I found interesting that we haven't commented on too much is Kelly Slater, world's greatest surfer, dominates Chopu. He's won out there multiple times. He gets torn up out there. I mean, surfing takes its toll on you and is very obviously physical, but even the best surfer in the world, in round one, he got his teeth chattered so hard he thought he knocked out a tooth. He came out of a wave and I think he bailed, or maybe it clipped him in the head.
He went down to the bottom and it hit him in the back.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't quite get a chance to pull in, and the thing just axed him in the head so hard that he clamped his jaw shut and like his teeth got just like chattered. And he came up feeling his teeth and then paddled up to the photographer and was like, dude, are my teeth still intact? Because his jaw was all sore still. And then later in this last round, or I think it was round three, he hit the reef, cut up his arm pretty badly. I don't know if he needed stitches or not, but I mean, in the post-heat interview, you could see it wasn't just a scrape. And it's kind of like, that's just common practice out there. You're going to surf and you're going to get smashed.
Yeah.
I mean, potentially losing your teeth is legit, dude.
Well, people die out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how heavy that spot is.
But it's kind of like if he wasn't doing a post-heat interview, you wouldn't have known that those two pretty drastic things happened to him. But
right.
It does. And it does all the time.
Yeah.
You know, all around the world, all year long. And that's what those guys do.
Yeah. A producer over there would be wise to do a segment just on the bumps and the bruises and, mm-hmm. and what happens to those guys.
Not to mention just sea urchins stepping on, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of minor stuff, too. So.
David Lee Scales sea urchin segment.
How to extract an urchin probe from your foot.
As long as Rosie Hodge does it, I'm good with it. I'll watch it. Oh, my.
Do you have a must-see moment, Kook and Duke?
I do. I have a must-see moment. It's Red Bulls. Who is J.O.B., Jamie O'Brien 5.0, and last time we sort of ripped on them for lighting him on fire, but this time, at least the one I saw, and maybe you've seen it, the massive mainland Mexico where Shane Dorian and he do dueling tube rides together. They get towed in together, so they're on the back of a ski with tow ropes, one's behind the other, and they get towed into the same wave at this massive mainland Mexico beach break, which shall remain nameless.
Okay.
And everyone knows where it is, but there's no need to talk about it and make it more crowded, but... it's pretty incredible. Dorian and Jamie O'Brien in these massive together with both of them with GoPros, you know.
So you have the follow behind shot?
You've got it all. You got the follow behind, the in the mouth, you know, both angles.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. And quite frankly, just the stuff when they're just surfing by themselves is even better, you know, like just mental toe in.
I mean, we've kind of clowned on Jamie on the show a bit. The guy surfs unbelievably well.
and pushes boundaries in a lot radically and in big waves and whatever. But that whole 0.0 series that he does with Red Bull, I have no interest in watching at all because it's too many party antics, and also it's way overproduced with just tons of dubstep music and like quick cut edits and flashy graphics. And it's like, I get sensory overload and I have to turn it off. But I want to watch. Like, that will be the first episode of that I watch since season one. And I think they're in season five right now.
Yeah. And you know, I just randomly stumbled upon it through somebody, you know. Yeah. I'm all about big mainland Mexico tubes. I wanted amazing. To see that.
Yeah. I would love to see that. And I, the fact that Shane's in it kind of validates it for
me. Then there's some pretty funny, you know, anecdotes or, you
antics.
Know. Yeah. With, you know, I guess he's got some like
poopsies.
Yeah. Who's this poopsies guy? He's like his clown guy,
yeah,
or something.
Totally. Yeah. His and jester.
He's his court jester. And they just send him out into these 20-foot waves on an inner tube. And he literally almost dies and is like crying.
How has
and
that
stuff.
Guy not died?
I don't know.
I've seen him surf off the wall on skis, literally snow ski, or maybe they were water skis, but literally they tow him in on parallel skis into off the wall and he just gets smashed.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. Like, you kind of just feel like he's being abused a little bit. Like,
I mean, how much money is he making?
He's getting exploited or something.
Is he getting paid in Red Bull?
I hope he's getting paid. I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
But it's pretty, yeah. I mean, he's literally like putting his life on the line.
Agreed. Right? Completely.
And then they do the same with Ryan Hipwood. They convince him to do this thing. And Ryan Hipwood catches the biggest wave of the whole thing on the inner tube. It's easily a 20-foot wave. And it's just, you know, video makes waves look smaller.
Yes.
Like, can you imagine the view this guy had? It must have looked like a 40-foot wave. It was it was just intense.
Yeah.
So check out the Two Dudes, One Barrel, Who is JOB 5.0 by Red Bull. It's pretty damn fun.
It'll be on downthelineradio.com and surfsplendorpodcast.com.
That's right. A link to it. It's hard to kind of embed that stuff.
I can embed it.
Come on, you're the man.
Come on. Well, yeah. Then, surfsplendorpodcast.com. Right. My must-see moment. Did you see U.S. Blank's Instagram this morning?
No.
All right, dude. I was wanting to talk about this the last couple of shows, but I didn't want to just brush past it. I thought it deserved like its own discussion.
I'm going there.
Yeah. All right, check it. Yeah, I was down in Costa Rica, Nicaragua last month and spent some time in Nicaragua with these two little
shapeshifters?
Girls. No. Oh. These two little girls, Scott. The most impressive little surfer girls I've ever seen in my life by a country mile. No.
Huh.
In this video on US Blank's Instagram, 8 years old and 10 years old. They're now 9 and 11. Mm-hmm. But they're these blonde-haired, 40-pound girls that charge the outer reefs, like at Papoyo. When Papoyo looks like pipeline and is like ledging barreling, this 8-year-old girl, watch her get sucked over the falls on the first wave.
Oh, my God. She's getting completely worked.
8 years old, dude. It's like a 10-foot proper barreling slab. She wipes out on the drop, and you see her little tiny body getting sucked over the falls. These girls charge. Not only do they charge, but they rip. When they're surfing the smaller waves, they're ripping. So the story is Valentina is the older of the two. Candelaria is the younger of the two. They have an even younger sister named Maxie who doesn't really surf, but their dad just charges, and so they kind of grew up with him. And they paddle out without their dad oftentimes into those kind of 10 plus foot surf. Their mom's on the beach filming. They're just comfortable being in the water like John was at Pipeline back in the day. And they charge. So our group was out there surfing this kind of, it was at Colorado's. It was maxed out. It was like 10 plus foot swell, 10 to 15 foot swell. So Colorado's is too big to surf. So you go down the beach, there's a surf called Ponga Drops, which is kind of more open ocean style wave, kind of like Sunset Beach, actually. A lot of shifty water moving and kind of a peak that kind of shifts. And so our group paddles out there, and these two girls came with us. And our buddy Eric Kramer, who you might know, ex-pro surfer, the guy still rips. He's paddling into a wave that he was going to back out of. Like, literally, like, he's paddling into this 10-plus footer, like digging in and all the offshore wind coming up. And he said, like, he was not sure if he should even go because it was a little sketch. He hears this little girl's voice deeper than him, 10 feet deeper on the proper peak, go, "Hey, Eric, are you going?" And he glances over and she's got her head down, 11-year-old girl digging in and just pops up to her feet and
takes off into the infinite abyss. Eric pulls back, baffled, going, dude, I seriously was going to chicken out of that wave and I was on the shoulder. Valentina rushing it. And then not only takes off, rips the thing, does a couple of turns to the beach, to the inside section. These little girls are insane. So we spent like 4 or 5 days with them. They charged, they ripped. And additionally, speak multiple languages, do like judo, do yoga, do all sorts of cross training kind of stuff. They're like the most impressive little girls I've ever been around. They will be world famous at some point. It's just they're living in Costa Rica in anonymity, kind of like everybody down there knows.
Yeah.
But I was baffled, like speak perfect English and really interesting stuff too. Like I was like, oh, you know, I'll send you some video clips. And she's 11 years old and she's like, oh, what file type are they? I tell her and she's like, oh, I'll have to convert them because, you know, I run this and blah, blah, blah. But you can email them. Can you Dropbox them? Send them to my email. Like just very technically proficient, sophisticated, well-spoken. It felt like you're talking to a adult and she's 11 years old, but as small as an 8-year-old, you know, crazy.
Does that speak to the adults that you interact with probably here in the United States more than
probably?
Isn't that the way you should behave?
My favorite quote from that Tim Ferriss podcast with Laird Hamilton that I was talking about was, he's like, you know, if you're always the smartest dude in the room, doesn't mean you're that smart, just means you're in the wrong room.
That's epic. Speaking of Laird, the classic surfer magazine from 2000, the Oh My God cover?
Millennium Wave.
The Millennium Wave.
Yeah, at Chopu.
Yeah, we've got that board. That board's in the auction. That's one of the boards in the auction.
Toe-in board, obviously.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, the toe-in board. It? Bill Hamilton, his dad.
Okay.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's a good get.
Yeah. Sweet. We've got a bunch of killer boards. It's ridiculous.
Well, Kook and Duke, my Kook of the month or Kook of the week is the Snowdonia for closing, obviously, and probably putting a bunch of people in a bit of a tizzy for traveling. You have a Kook?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
My Duke is Google for yesterday putting Duke Kanamoku as their banner. When you visited Google, they oftentimes change out the logo. Yesterday was a logo of Duke because it was his 125th birthday. So they paid tribute to Duke.
That is pretty cool. And my Duke is...
I mean, it's their Duke for using the Duke.
Yeah,
it's
my Duke is the guy who did the artwork, Mike Cruikshank.
So oh, congrats. I was wondering. It was really good.
Yeah. So good job on doing that, Mike.
Very cool.
All right.
Speaking of 125th birthday, Yosemite National Park is having their 125th anniversary on my birthday this year. So I'm going to spend my birthday with their birthday. They literally opened the park on the day I was born, 110 years prior or something like that.
Oh, my God.
Not 110, 90 years
prior. Look, you're winning the women's fantasy surfer, all right? Get over it.
So I told you I'm into camping now because of that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, wild. This is part of that.
Yeah, they've got IHOPs there. So. Well, that's cool. Yeah. I want to go visit Yellowstone. That's on my bucket list.
It's on mine, too. I'm going to go for sure. 15-hour drive. I already looked into it.
I want to go there. I heard in September. It's awesome.
Okay. Well, you've got a few days to plan your trip, dude. September's
next September.
Right around the corner.
Not going to be this September. It's going to be next September. We got the Vintage Surf Auction coming up.
I hadn't heard.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be
interesting.
Good.
Yeah. I've never heard of such a thing. Yeah. Do you have any involvement with that at all?
Okay, well, until next time, for David and for Scott, adios and aloha.
Just bees and things and flowers.
Yeah, all right. Right on. Thank you, everybody. Even though we didn't give you a unique show today, put a little bit of extra passion and love into my banter with Scott just for you for our 100th episode. All right, so shout out again to all the listeners. Thanks again for making the show possible. Continue spreading the love and the good word, and we'll keep pumping them out. All right, I got a good episode for you next week. And then, of course, just follow on social media at Surf Splendor. Leave comments on the website, Surf Splendor Podcast, and that's it. Engage with us. Oh, rate and review the show in iTunes. That has been really, really beneficial to helping the show grow. And I think we have like 75 or something reviews. I don't know how many ratings, but it's like mostly 5 stars. There's a 1 star and there's a 4 star in there. So the rest are all 5. So pretty amazing. On Yelp, that would be a proper 5. All right. So thank you for that. And
Enjoy your week. I will be back next week, but until then, I am encouraging you, get in the water, no matter how big or how small, catch a couple waves, and shred on.